a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to a wonderfully beautiful spring day. At least it's a wonderfully beautiful spring day here in Nashua, New Hampshire, where the Dr. Kevin Show is generating out of. Half of it, part of it. A third of it is coming to you from Nashua, New Hampshire, where it's nice and warm and sunny. A third is coming from Merrimack, New Hampshire, which I'm sure is not quite as warm and sunny because it's never quite as nice there as it is here, because I'm here, not there. And then a third of it is coming from across the pond. So welcome here to... Absolutely great. So as you know, this is our second Thursday of the month, which means it's Thoughtful Thursday, where Reverend Lori Powers Otto and myself, we either talk about things to make you thoughtful, we talk about thoughtful things going in the world, or we bring in guests who are doing thoughtful things in the world will make you thoughtful. So pull up a cup of coffee, wake up those brain cells, because we got quite a treat for you tonight. What I do want you to understand is this is a live call-in show. You get a chance to be part of the conversation. You know, it's always easy to sit around in the world and complain about what's going on. It's always easy to sit around in the world and feel and be a martyr or be helpless. But when you can be part of the conversation, you make a difference. And tonight, you can be part of the conversation by calling 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. You can be asking questions to moi, to Madame Lori in Merrimack, or to our extra special pond crossing guest, who I'm going to introduce to you in just a moment. But I want to start by saying, Lori, how are you on this lovely spring day?
I am magnificent. Today is so gorgeous. We worked in the yard all day, went for a nice long walk. It is just a magnificently wonderful day.
Okay.
Sorry, I had a little thing in my throat. I apologize.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, and I said this on Sunday night because, you know, twice a month I do the podcast Laughing, Loving, and Alive, which is where I first met this beautiful young woman I'll be introducing you to in just a moment, through a mutual friend of ours who you know, Rain Thomas. But I was saying that the thing that I was most excited about, because we were talking about like how it had been since we were last on air together, the three of us, Rain, Almar, and I was like, the thing I'm most excited about is I got to spend the weekend and dig in the dirt. I put in four blueberry bushes. I put in three lilac bushes. I put in two strawberry bushes and a raspberry bush. And my backyard is about 2 inches of topsoil and about 6 feet of stones the size of Malta.
Welcome to the granite.
I know. I kept on saying those are almost as big as the stones that come out of my head when I bend my neck. Yes, but I got all of that beauty and bounty in the soil, and it's all in my yard, and I'm going out every day, and I'm doing my special fertilizer water, and I'm talking to it, and I'm telling it it's pretty, and so, yes, so I'm very excited. So I get how, when you say it was a magnificent day, because you spent the day in the yard. Unless you meant the yard, the brewery, the yard. You did mean your, like, house yard,
no.
Right?
I meant my house yard, my garden, yeah. Doing good old yard work.
Okay. I wanted to make sure you hadn't spent the whole day getting drunk at the yard restaurant. That's all.
No, not today. Maybe another day.
Another day, another brew.
Yeah.
You know, I usually do a hot topic, something that makes me either warms the cockles of my heart or gets me hot and bothered. And then I ask you and our guests to weigh in on that hot topic. I'm going to kind of do a transitional thing this week because it's a very special week indeed, because this woman's story warms the cockles of my heart. This woman's story of how she has turned adverse things into not only good things in her own life, but how she has helped tens of thousands of women out there by feeling better about themselves and how they present themselves that are struggling with cancer. And her story inspires me and it motivates me. And she is the kind of person that when people go, I'm giving up on humanity, I think of this woman as somebody that says, no, there are still good people. So that makes three, Lori, me, and her. No. I want to introduce Cody. I'm still going to get your last name wrong. I'm going to introduce Cody. Cody is a multi-talented inventor, mover, and shaker. And she's going to share her story. I keep on wanting to say Gaspar, but I know that's incorrect. But she'll correct me. That's all right. She has tolerance for me. But this woman is motivated, inspiring, smart, and she took adversity. And she didn't just make lemonade, she made a lemonade franchise. Cody, welcome.
How are you? I am so, so happy to be here. Thank you so much. My surname is Gapare, but you can call me whatever you like. You know, you're allowed. Only you can call me Cody G.
Cody G. I'm just going to call you Cody. I'm just going to call you Cody Bell, because Bell means beauty.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you.
Cody is the owner and founder of C-Lash. And I'm going to let her explain it more. And I'm going to actually, because I have interviewed Cody on Laughing, Loving, and Alive. And I'm sure we'll talk about different things today than we did then. So you can always go and go to Laughing, Loving, and Alive on our Facebook, on the Facebook page and see our interview there as well. Because there's no such thing as getting too much of a good thing like Cody. So, Lori, would you like to start questioning our lovely friend?
I was kind of hoping that Cody would introduce herself, and then I can ask her some questions, because I do have some things I want to say, but it's not appropriate to say at this moment. But I am super, super excited. I have not yet had the pleasure of talking to Cody, so I am so excited about this tonight. I just love when someone can take adversity and turn it into something beautiful and magnificent, which appears that she has done, and that she's helping people around the world. But because she did this, I'm in awe. I'm just in awe of you. I think you're...
Oh.
So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I've always said it's weird when you hear someone describing you because you never see yourself through someone else's eyes. So because my story is my own, I don't think it's that, you know, it's like remarkable and then you hear other people. But this is who Cody is in short. So I was born in Zimbabwe. Back in the 70s. I'm a 70s child. I came over to the UK in 2004. And one thing that I've always said was growing up, I had dyslexia, but I didn't know that I was dyslexic or that I am dyslexic. I only found out later on in life, only about 4 years ago. So I was always bottom of my class. So when I came over here, the dream was to become a lawyer since I was about 7 or 8. Anyway, I came over here and I was really trying to get into uni to do my law degree. So I remember in 2014, in August, I was diagnosed. I found a lump in my breast and I went to the doctors, as you do. And I was told to come back in August, on the 11th of August, to find out the result of the biopsy. It was that very day that I had actually managed to get an interview at the local university where I wanted to do law. So my interview was at 6 o'clock that evening. My appointment for the result of the lump was at 3 in the afternoon. But because I was only about 36 years old, I was very active. I was, you know, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke. I did not for a second think that that lump could be cancer. So I didn't tell anybody that I was going for my results. I didn't take anybody with me. I just walked in, had my my results, which turned out that I had breast cancer. And because I was so unprepared for that diagnosis, I just behaved in a way that was probably quite odd, because instead of sitting there and going through my diagnosis, I then went to the university and I had my interview. And I managed to get my place into university, but when I started my treatment, I just could not carry on. So I had to drop out of uni. So when I dropped out of uni, I kind of went into a dark place where I just felt like I've wanted to do this all my life. I failed now, and I've got this disease that's probably going to kill me. I had two boys, 15 and 7, that I was looking after my kids, and I was still single parent. So everything was on top of me. So I just spiraled into this dark place, and I got really desperate, not for myself, but for my kids. I needed to be there for my kids. And I was looking for something to help me to get back to myself so I could work and I could function. I could cook for my kids and look after them. And I started doing what I called lipstick and heels. And it was just waking up in the morning at 7 o'clock every day without fail, have a shower, put makeup on, put a really nice dress on, put high heels on. And that was it. I didn't know anything beyond that. I didn't have a plan beyond that. But what that did was it started to make me feel a lot better about myself. But the idea of Silash came because of lipstick and heels, because when I started doing this lipstick and heels, I wanted to hide, you know, it's like anything that stopped me from looking feminine. So when I lost my lashes, I realized lashes tend to rest, normal false eyelashes, they tend to rest on your existing lashes. And because I didn't have any lashes, I couldn't wear mainstream false eyelashes. So I decided to come up with a lash that worked for people who didn't have lashes. And that's basically how Silash was born.
Wow. Wow. See, that moves me so much, because I get every part of that. You know, you get this horrible diagnosis, but you have plans and you have somewhere a path that you want to take, and you got numb and you still went and did what you had to do. But then when you got to that dark place, which is totally understandable, you took a proactive step. I mean, I know you don't think that just putting on lipstick and high heels would make a big difference, but it does. Mentally, emotionally, energetically, it puts you in a different space. And I think how brave that is.
It absolutely does. And I think at that time, you're not thinking about bravery. You're not thinking about, you know, a remarkable story. You're not thinking, you're just putting one foot in front of the other. You just want to survive the next day and the next. And before you know it, you know, it's like you start writing, you know, a sentence and then a page and a book. And before you know it, you've written an amazing book. And that's what I did.
Yeah, that is what you did. It's incredible. And I guess I never thought about, I mean, I know people with cancer, and I never thought about the eyelashes. And it's funny, because this just occurred to me that a friend of mine was just saying how she couldn't get eyelashes, but I didn't realize the why. And now I have an answer for her. Now I have I can refer her to, you know, a store, and she can get eyelashes. I just, you have no idea how incredibly happy this makes me.
Yeah, absolutely. Because even for me, when I was diagnosed, everybody knows about you're going to lose your hair because everybody talks about that. But what they don't tell you is it's every kind of fast growing hair on your body. So it's not like, you know, the hair on your arms and stuff like that, because that's slow growing hair. But it's like your eyebrows, your eyelashes. Some people don't lose their eyelashes, but quite a big number of people lose their eyelashes, your eyebrows, your hair, even the hair under your arms, it all falls out. And I wasn't aware of that. I just thought it's the hair on my head. So even though I coped quite well with losing the hair on my head, it was all the other hair that I didn't realize I was going to use that really knocked me for six.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that I remember from years ago when I worked, I worked at a nursing home, and I was helping at a nursing home, and I would take these mostly older women. There were some gentlemen, but mostly older women. And I was adamant, and not everybody I worked with, this is a long time ago, but not everybody I worked with was adamant as I was, but I was adamant that not only did I get those ladies up, but I put their lipstick on, I combed their hair. If they had jewelry, I would find it. I would find something for them to put on. And their whole day and attitude would shift if they felt like they looked good. And yeah, some people got it, but some people didn't. And when you're talking about that, it reminds me of how powerfully I could see the difference of if I went in on a day for some reason where I was not working and I would see what I would call my residents and they weren't looking their best, I could see they weren't as happy. They weren't as engaged. They weren't as motivated. And so that's what I thought when you were talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Because for me, I didn't, it wasn't that I'd read somewhere or it was literally I had tried a few things and it was out of desperation. Lipstick and heels was one thing that I could control about myself. And it quickly became clear to me that on days when I stayed in bed, I felt a lot worse than on days when I woke up and I was looking really good. Because, I don't know, something happens within yourself when you look good on the outside, it shifts something on the inside as well.
Yes. And I think that when the world is an uncertain place and there are so many things that are out of control, that we take, it means a lot for the things that we can control.
Yeah.
That what can I do, no matter what the crisis is? I mean, obviously, cancer is a big crisis. Going through chemotherapy as a single mom, two kids, big crisis. But I think in uh-huh. any trauma that somebody goes through, where there's a feeling of a loss of control, that sometimes it's just having to focus on the most littlest things you can control to feel like you're not losing your mind.
That's so true. I remember somebody telling me that, you know, it's like when you feel like the world is closing in and you feel like you're losing control, start with the necessary and do the possible and watch yourself walking into the impossible. And I think that's so true.
Yeah. It really is. Oh, and there's the sound of the music. We will be in a moment for Thoughtful Thursday with Lori Powers Otto, tonight's guest, Cody Gaper, the founder and inventor of C-Lash.
Yep. Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we are in our second Thursday of the month, which means none other than Lori Powers Otto and I on Thoughtful Thursday, where we bring you either thoughtful things, things that are being done in the world that should make you thoughtful or are just simply thoughtful things, conversations or guests, people that will make you think or making a difference in the world. Our young lady tonight, who is our guest, is definitely making a difference in the world. Cody Gepere, a cancer survivor, is an author, an inventor, and the founder of C-Lash, and has taken the challenge of a single parent with two young boys and a cancer diagnosis and turned it into a multinational business. And she is here to inspire, to motivate you. And even though you can't see her, flash you that million-dollar grin of hers, because I've seen it. Cody, welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I just love this woman, Lori. I'm telling you.
Hello, I'm getting up.
Cody, you know, it wasn't just that you created this something for yourself, but, you know, I know that you had shared before that, you know, schooling wasn't necessarily a big option for you where you came from because they didn't realize about your dyslexia. So you were coming across as not a very good student, when clearly you're a brilliant woman. Can you talk about how that affected you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my dad has always been, you know, it's like my dad was always very forward thinking. He'd always say things like, as a woman, you should never live a parasitic life. And at that time, because I didn't really speak English, I did not understand what he meant. But he was always about education. But when back in the day when we were going to school back in Zimbabwe, we were taught all in the same manner. And some of us who had special needs, I had dyslexia. I only found out when I went to university. I just struggled. I was always bottom of my class. And the word that comes to my head all the time when I think about my years in school is dunderhead, because that's what I used to be called. Because out of a class of 35 kids, I was always number 34, 35, 33. That's where I used to kind of range. And it was quite weird because talking to me, when people would talk to me, they would say, you're very smart, but I could never get academically. I was always lights out. So when I came over here, I worked in a casino, which is very taxing on the brain. I was very good. I was a very good croupier. I worked as a data analyst, which used to make people wonder, like, if you say that you were never good in school and if you didn't pass any of your when you were in school, how come you're so capable? And I didn't have an answer. And for me, because I wanted to be a lawyer, I never believed I could be that until my boss, a guy called Ross Jackson, said to me, you know, you should try and go to university. If you do MVQ, there is a qualification here in the UK called MVQs. And he says, if you get to level 3 MVQ, that is the same qualification as A-levels, you can go to university and become a lawyer. And it was only because he kept mothering me and he really believed in me that I finally did my MVQ. And so when I was diagnosed, I'd only just finished my MVQ and I was on track to finally realize my dream. But the good thing about that, I did drop out of university when I started treatment because I just couldn't cope with everything. And it was a really hard thing for me to do. But my story has got a happy ending because in 2016, I then won a scholarship to go and do a master's in business administration. So I got my master's last year. So yeah, I've got an MBA now.
That's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I love that you don't take no for an answer. I just love that.
No, no. I don't think no's have ever meant anything to me in my life.
That's wonderful. I love that. I love that. I love that when you couldn't pursue what you thought was your passion, you went on to find what was your passion. And I think that's something a lot of people need to learn.
Go ahead, Cody.
Yeah, I think for me, because when I started Sealash, because I'd never run a business before, I was so passionate about Sealash and I was so passionate about finding out more about cancer and beauty and everything. So for me, it made sense to go and learn something about running my business because I wanted to understand more about. So doing a business administration course made sense more than going to do law as I initially intended. So I just adjusted myself a bit and took a slightly different course.
You know, and one of the things I want to point out to our listeners and that I just love about your story, and part of it is because I resonate to it and I have my own little bit of a parallel. And that is about not letting other people's declarations or perceptions of you hold you back. So often, this happens in, I think, school systems around the world, that there isn't always enough time, energy, or resources put on the onerous of the school to find the child's brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because anybody talking to you as a little girl would have seen that you were brilliant, and the fact that you were not testing well should have said, there is a deeper dive here. There is,
yes,
there is more here. We have to find out what the disconnect is. And, you know, I resonate to some extent because, you know, I mean, when I was very early in the first grade, I mean, my parents were told that they should be put in a slow class, basically telling them that I was mentally retarded. And I heard for a great deal of my life as a child that I was stupid. And, you know, and you hear it enough and you start to believe it.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important, because there are people that are listening to you right now that may be thinking, I know I'm brighter than school showed, or I know I'm brighter than they said, but I've given up believing on it. I've given up on it. I've given up on me. I have just fallen into the lowest set of expectations. And I love the fact that you use the lowest grade of expectations to put your 4-inch heels on top of and use as a building block to get up and out and away from those negative memories and messages. I just think that's fabulous.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, because I think for me, I think my dad had a lot to do with the fact that I never gave up on myself, because even though he did not understand why I was bottom of the class, even though he couldn't help me because his own understanding of my situation was limited, he would always encourage me, and he would always, you know, it's like, believe that I would find my own path. And he would always say to me, remember who you are and remember whose you are. And I never forget that. And he's still here now. And the fact that he tells me that he's proud of me, it's, you know, it's like, it's everything that a child wants to hear from their parent.
So, Lori, do you have any questions? I promised I would not talk through the whole interview.
You are doing fantastic. Don't worry. Not a question, really, but I just want to say thank you to your dad, and thank you to your boss who believed in you and encouraged you. The world needs way more people like that. They saw the real you, not what, you know, society or the schools were saying. And yeah, we need a lot more people like them in the world. So thank you to those people.
Absolutely. That's so true. I mean, Ross Jackson, my boss, who, when I was diagnosed, I was working for his company. He worked really hard with me while I was going through treatment so that I would be able to continue to work and continue to look after my kids. And even when I was going through treatment, he would sort of like encourage me. And it's like, you need to understand that, you know, you're more than what you've always believed you are. So he's still, even to this day, he's still my mentor. If I'm hitting a brick wall, he's one person that I can pick up the phone and he can always bring me back to myself. So, yeah, he's a remarkable guy.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So now you started C-Lash.
Yes.
And you suddenly... You've been clear for cancer. How long now?
5 years now.
So 5 years. And in that 5 years, well, I made a comment on it. I know that you saw the comment because you posted something back. Your young king, as you call him, I love that, is 21.
Yes.
And so, you know, your children had to take this journey with you. How do you think that them taking this journey with you, did it change the nature of your relationship with them at all?
It did. And I think it's one thing that I always try and create a teaching moment whenever I can, because I think I made a massive mistake with my kids when I was diagnosed. I was trying to protect them, and I decided not to tell them that I'd been diagnosed with breast cancer. But what I forgot was my kids are very, very smart, and they listen and they pick up stuff when you don't realize. So my kids found out that I had cancer on their own, and I never had that chance to kind of ease them into this situation. So for a long time, I think for maybe about 2 or 3 months, they knew that I had cancer. They didn't want to let me know that I knew. They knew. So they were dealing with this situation on their own. My youngest son was staying with his dad at that time because my ex-husband and me, we're still really close. He lives 10 minutes drive from my house. So he took my younger son, because he was 7, to stay with him. But my older son the one who was just turned 21, was staying with me. And he pretty much became my carer most of the time. It did affect him quite a lot. He did have, he went a little bit off the rails, maybe about a year or two after he'd finished treatment. He's back now. He's doing great. He's working. He's got three jobs. He is, he's got his own place. He lives in Manchester. He's doing great. But I wish I'd done things differently. I really do.
Yeah,
it's such a
impossible situation.
Go ahead, Lori.
That's an impossible situation for any parent. So there is no right or wrong way to handle that. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You just kind of got to feel your way through that. I would think, because it's an impossible situation either way. Because if you had told them right away, some people would have been upset with you for doing that. And if you never told them, some people for you for that. Yeah, you just got to do what works for you. And it sounds like you're a wonderful mom. You're close with your kids. You know, it sounds like how it happened was good. You know, it worked out for the best. So yeah, I would just put that behind you and keep going, because you're doing a lot of wonderful, good things in the world.
Oh, thank you.
I do want to invite our listeners, though, is, you know, those are always tough decisions, but kids are they can be very empathetic, very sensitive. Like, you know, they see more than we ever think. As somebody who has done 30 years now of trying to undo things that kids had done to them by their parents in my practice, is at the end of the day, a lot of times being honest is the best thing to do. And the problem is, with all of the things crashing down on you, thinking clearly was a difficult thing. And you obviously, you know, when they came together, they got to show up and they got to knit a deeper family unit through the shared crisis. And so, yeah, go ahead. Oh, that's the sound of our break. We're going to be on break briefly, and then we're going to come back and wrap up this hour with the smart, intelligent, funny, and inspiring Cody Gepaire.
You too, kind.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. This is Thoughtful Thursday, where I am with the most thoughtful and thought-provoking Lori Powers Otto, my regular co-host for this segment, as well as a few others. And our guest tonight, who is out there doing thoughtful things in the world and is quite the thinker in her own right, Cody Gepare, who is the founder of C-Lash, inventor, founder, and how big has C-Lash come in the 5 years?
Ooh, so C-Lash was launched in 2019. So it took quite a long time to get C-Lash to the market because we were literally coming up with a whole new concept of a lash. Post-lashes have been around for a long time, but we were coming at this from a really different angle. So it took us a long time to launch. So we finally launched in Boots in the UK in 2019. Since we launched in the UK in 2019, we've now managed to launch in the US in Walgreens 2020. And we've also launched in Australia, Finland, Norway. We've launched in Poland. We've launched in one more place, Sweden. So, yeah. So we are trying to reach wherever the world over where if there are women and men who need lashes and they do not have their own lashes and they're struggling currently, whether it's through cancer treatment or is through alopecia or trichotillomania, whatever it is that stops you from wearing false eyelashes, normal false eyelashes, because they don't stay in place, we are trying to get C-Lash to you at some point.
2 years. She went from croupier black, croupier dealer through accepted in law school, diagnosed with cancer, through the struggle, through the invention, and in 2 years, she's got it in over a half a dozen countries. Do you see why I love this woman, Lori?
Absolutely, absolutely. I had a cousin, or a second cousin, that had alopecia, and she would have, it would have made her world to be able to have these false eyelashes, you know? I agree. She's remarkable. I say we nominate her for Woman of the Year. What do you think, Dr. Kevin?
Oh, in my book, she's already Woman of the Year. So, Cody, you have some other new and exciting things coming up, though, because you are just a woman who can't be kept down. Can you tell us some of the new and exciting things that you've got? Fasten your seatbelt, Lori. This woman is a steamroller. Can you share with us some of the other exciting and new places in which you are taking this genius brain of yours?
Oh, yeah. So can I just say, before I go further, so C-Lash was launched in collaboration with Eyelure. So I'm working with Eyelure. So I just need to mention, because Eyelure have been really, really instrumental in C-Lash's success, and they have been doing a phenomenal job. Just, I needed to get that in. But where am I going next? Completely different direction. So last year, I decided that I wanted to have my own gin. So I decided that I was going to start a gin brand of my own recipe and everything. So I'm going to be launching my gin later on this year. And my gin is called Cody Black, Spirit of Africa. And it's a marula flavored gin. And yeah, we are excited about this new development. Very left field. So there you go.
Cody Black, Spirit of Africa, gin. I love it. And I expect that when that's launched, that I'm going to have a bottle sent to me.
Yes, we did. You said you're going to come to the UK to pick up your own bottle.
Well, I am still planning on coming to the UK. trust me, you're gonna have to leave the country if you think you're going to get out of that invitation that I squirreled you into giving me.
No, you're most welcome. Looking forward to it.
So, Lori, what do you think about that? She's going to be a bathtub gin baby.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Gin is very nice. And I would never turn it down. So I think that's exciting. And I love that you found yet another direction to go in. I'm sorry. You're amazing. That's all I can say.
Thank you.
I inspired the gin again. So. What inspired that word?
The name of the gin.
Well, just to make gin in general, just to go that way, and the name.
Really? So the name, really, the name was the easiest part because I'm Cody and I'm black, so I just put it together, Cody Black. but the gin, again, I think for me, I get inspiration from dark places when I go through some dark places. I come up, I create, I always say when I have a storm within, I create a bigger storm without that's bigger than the storm within. So last year, at the beginning of the pandemic, I lost my brother, who was one of the few family members that I've got here in the UK. Him and his daughter died within 2 weeks of each other. So it was just that place that, again, it was a familiar place for me. I needed to create another thing that was bigger than my grief. And I started on a project that was scary, massive, knew nothing about gin before. I know I've got a lot of useless information about gin now. And yeah, that's how it started.
Well, I am sorry for your loss. So, wow, what an amazing way to come about doing something else that's positive and wonderful.
Yeah, because I figured if I don't make it, I'll start drinking it, and self-medicating when you're grieving is never a good thing.
Oh,
yeah, well, definitely. And, you know, two sides of that coin, which is, on one hand, the worst part of the grieving will at least be familiar and moved into a different place because it's going to take so damn long to get the gin out. So, I mean, that's the good news, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're less likely to become a raging alcoholic off of it because, you know, you will have passed by the first year of everything that is always tends to be the toughest. you know, it doesn't ever go away. I mean, I've lost two brothers, and in fact, oh. I was just talking to one this week, and you know, he's around. My mother is getting closer to passing, and she's talking to him a lot, and so, you know, and so I. Because I talk to all my dead relatives and then I shut up and listen because they talk back to me. So him and I talked this week about my mother and my mother visiting him and her not being around much longer. But he died in 1979 and that place never got replaced. My life just built itself around it. But
wow.
the place doesn't ever go away.
No.
And
no.
But you build, you know, and one of the ways that I'm blessed because, you know, I've been talking to dead people since I was 6 or 7 years old. And by the time I was 8, I was really clear that just because they were dead didn't mean they went anywhere. They just kind of, you know, it's like losing one of your favorite pieces of clothing. It's not there physically anymore, but, you know. The body's gone, but they're still around if you choose to want to be open and to communicate with them.
Listen,
yeah. So they can still be there to guide you. But yeah, so I think that's another inspiring thing, which is you have a choice what to do when heavy, out of control, chaotic destructive energy, because when somebody we love dies, there's a part of that that is destructive in our life. Our life destructs and then has to reconstruct and come back together, compensating for their absence. But its first hit is destructive, because you cannot have the life you had when they were still alive in physical form, because they're not there to sit across the table with or share a good meal, or, you know, they're not physically there. And so that is, but you take that destructive energy and you turn it into constructive, creative energy, because destructive energy is a whole lot of energy. And a lot of times people fall into being self-destructive with the energy, which doesn't help anybody.
That is so true.
You know, and the fact that you took the loss of your brother and your niece and you turned it into something that you can put out into the world and you can also use to celebrate your culture, and that will be a living memorial to him in a way, because it was him and your niece's death that motivated you to go down that path. So it's like you've created a living memorial to him in a way.
Really true.
Yes.
You've just articulated, you know, when you feel something but you don't know how to put it into words, and you've just articulated it in, well, in a way that I never could. But that's exactly it. Absolutely.
And he's so proud that you're creating something from this loss of his. He's so proud of you for doing it. I can feel it. I can feel that he's proud of you. And it's so funny, because he was kind of like, that's my sister, always turning it into something good, no matter how bad it is. That's what she does.
That sounds like him. That's so him. That's what he was. He was one of my biggest cheerleaders. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's what he said in my head, because I'm kind of like talking to him a little bit right now. He's telling me to tell you these things.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you are still inspiring and motivating people.
Thank you.
And you know, and you will go on and create other things that will inspire and motivate you, because you have found that that is your true essence. And before, you had limitations of incorrect information about who you could be or who you were. And now that they are gone, there is nothing to stop you.
Oh, thank you so much. That is such a good thing to hear, because, you know, that fear never goes away. You know, when people, like, say, people tell you things when your brain is still young, and it wraps those words around itself, and it's really hard to let it go. And even now, after everything that I've done, that fear never leaves you, that, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm a dunderhead, I'm not smart. And it's a constant struggle every day to talk yourself out of that place and say, you know, I am actually good enough.
Baby, you're so far beyond good enough that you can't even see not good enough in your rearview mirror.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
So when I get over to, by the time I get over to England, because I'm coming, even though my friends just let me know that they sold their place in Chester and have moved to Bournemouth, because I was going to do a twofer. I was going to see them and see you. And now I don't know how far Bournemouth is from you guys, but.
You can stay with me. And I'll drive you to Bournemouth myself. I have to.
hey, I'm planning on staying with you. You, me, a case of gin, and I'm going to give you some tools and techniques to get rid of this crappy, shitty stuff in your head that says you're not good enough, because it's time for it to be gone there, sunshine.
Yes, absolutely.
You're out there changing the world. So I want to thank you for coming, Cody Gaspier. You can find out more about her. Can you want to give him a website before we run out of time?
Yes, www.c-lash.co.uk.
Okay. That is www.c-lash.uk.com, right?
.co.uk.
.co.uk. Next week, we will have our astrologer, and Miss Lori will be back joining me. And we're going to have planetary influences with Rob. And the week after that, we're going to have Rain Thomas on. And she's launching a new line that is being sold to raise money to help families with cancer. So we've got a couple of exciting weeks. Lori's going to be joining me for one or both, because she is always invited here on the Dr. Kevin Show, as you are. Cody, thank you so much, honey.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.